Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
Part of the challenge in our culture is isolation. And you think, well, I can worship God at home by myself. Yeah, you can. It's just not going to go well long, because you're going to get in your own head and you're going to be cut off. No accountability, no fellowship. And that is one of the number one things we got going.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. Richard's unique style checks all the boxes with a lot of hope, insight, truth, and of course, humor. Today's talk with Richard will get our conversation started, but we want to keep it going with you. So let's stay in touch through our website, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Backup. If you've ever not backed up something like a phone or a computer, you know the feeling. I don't know that I've ever shared this, but this has happened a few times. I'll work on a message all week. I think I have it saved. And then I wake up, you know, on a Sunday and go to print it and come here and it's gone. And anybody know the horror of having something just gone? Now, thankfully, if you know what you're going to say, you rebuild it. But in some cases, that's a terrible thing if you've got a lot of information you're trying to back up. Another kind of backup you really don't want is a toilet backing up. Yeah, that probably don't need to spend much time on that. So backup, you hear, you know, police talking about this. We need backup, officer down. Maybe one of the definitions is a person or thing that supports or reinforces another. So someone to show up and back you up. Can also be musicians or singers. So do you have any backup? I'd like you to turn to 2 Kings 6. And before we read anything out of this, one illustration I will use is the Battle of the Bulge in World War II. Hitler was trying to mount an offensive and take out the Allied troops who were coming for him. And he's kind of split their lines, 1,000 tanks. It was just hundreds of thousands of troops. And General Eisenhower wisely sent reinforcement. And lots of casualties in the Battle of the Bulge, but the Allied forces prevailed. And Hitler was defeated eventually. So reinforcement is important. As a country, maybe as a planet, but especially as a country, as a community, and specifically as the church and as a church, I believe that we have taken a direct hit from the enemy. And if you look at the categories socially, racially, politically, theologically, pandemically, economically, almost every category, an onslaught. And you think, well, man, can the church survive? Can a country survive? Can families survive? Can the world survive such an attack? I believe the church can survive. And some of what I'm going to talk about today is this. Not everybody in a church, and not every church, by the way, survives, and not everybody in a church survives. We have had casualties. But we have also had reinforcements. So there are people in this church. So if you go to another church, I'm going to tell you it's your experience too if you've survived. There are people in this church who have survived the hit and the discussions and the pain and the sorrow and the all the issues, problems, isolation, whatever it is. How do you know you survived? You're sitting here. So I have tremendous gratitude and respect. You say, but not everybody that used to be here is here. I'll give you at least a couple of categories of people. The people that say, well, I have been transferred somewhere else, that God has sent me somewhere else, I'll tell you how I know who those people are. They communicate. They don't go absent without leave. You say, well, who do you think you are? I know, I don't think I am. I am a pastor. And I have responsibility with the elders of this church for the people of this church. He said, but we can come and go as we please. Oh, no, you can't. Well, you can't tell me anything. I didn't claim to try to tell you anything. You better be getting your orders from him. And if he tells you to go somewhere and you get transferred, then you go to somebody and say, hey, thank you. This is what God told us to do. We got transferred. We're going over here. But if you didn't get transferred and you just got your panties in a wad, been praying about how to use that word for a long time, but there it is. Kind of takes my breath away, but there it is. I just don't like it, and I'm upset about blah, 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 some issue. You're AWOL, that's all you are. And God help the next place you land, because if you didn't leave here right, you're not going to land there right. Come on. All right? So you say, well, I'm not happy. Let's sit down and talk about why you're not happy. I'm frustrated. Hey, I'm frustrated. So I am saying out loud, for those of you that have held on, maybe you want to jump ship, maybe you just want to stay home, period. And some of you, by the way, watching or listening somewhere out there today, you are staying home, and you stayed home too long. Amen. And you don't have permission for that either, maybe. So I am very grateful for the people that are still here. But there's another category that is in this room right now, and some that are kind of thinking about it. There are some of you that are backup, and you have not been here long. Maybe you've never been here before. And unless you're wolves in sheep's clothing, which will blow you out pretty quick. But if you are here because the Holy Spirit of God transferred you to this church, I am very grateful for whoever you are, because you are backup. You are the reinforcements that the King sends to hold the line. And you say, well, we were just looking for a new church, or we just felt led. Let me tell you, all that is him saying, the church has taken a hit, and he says, I need troops transferred and moved here and there. It is no small thing. Okay, so this is a very personal thing for me. I'm very grateful. And if I'm going to get 100% honest, we've had some people bail without saying a peep. Not a thank you very much. God bless you. Some cases I've known for a very long time. So you can pray for me. I don't need to be getting bitter and angry, and I can suck it up, but I need to do it in a healthy way. So, 2 Kings 6. These stories for me are just unbelievable. Verse 8, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Who's the mole? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. This prophet, he knows everything you say, even in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is, so that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. Do you ever feel like you're surrounded? I think I've shared this. There was one night, a house we lived in, kind of a little bit west of town. The girls were young, and man, this was not a good night. And Rebecca remembers this. All I can tell you is my house was surrounded. You say, by what? Nothing I could see. But I knew my house was surrounded. We went through that house. I mean, stuff I didn't know what to do, actually. And we anointed doors with oil. We prayed out loud in Jesus' name by the power of the blood. And we fought. And I knew the enemy was after me and after my family. Let me tell you something. He's after you and your family. This is not some game. It is steal, kill, destroy, war. If he can get you to kill yourself, he'll get you to kill yourself. And so sometimes you just feel like there's no hope. We're going to be run over. One of my favorite scenes is in a movie, and I've done a sermon about this. Don't usually recommend looking them up, but Broken Arrow, where you're being overrun by the enemy. And in the movie, Mel Gibson playing this commander, troops on the ground, they're being overrun, and he looks both ways, and if you've seen the movie, he tells the radio, Broken Arrow. And when you call that in the military, in war, every force anywhere close comes to bear on those coordinates. And they will drop bombs within 100 feet of your position because you're about to be overrun and it's your only hope. Sooner or later, you will cry, Broken Arrow. Because you'll get in a spot that if he does not show up, you are not going to make it. And if your prayer in Jesus' name does not work, you are not going to make it. I've shared that I get attacked in my dreams, and I know in my dream, if I can just get his name out, I'm going to be okay. And I struggle and struggle, and then finally scream out, Jesus, and it vanishes. So keep reading 2 Kings 6. So let's go down to Dothan. He sends horses and chariots and a great army. And when the servant of the man of God arose and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, Alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, Do not fear. Why not be afraid if you're surrounded by horses and chariots and a great army? How could you possibly not be afraid? And here's the answer. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Do you understand that and do you believe that? Because if you don't get that, you will live your life of fear. And not only this verse, then you go to the New Testament, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. You cannot get outnumbered, even if you're by yourself. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Now, it doesn't say here whether Elisha had ever seen what Gehazi saw. Maybe he didn't see. I don't have to see it. I think it'd actually be a little distracting for me. You're not by yourself. Whatever battle you're fighting, you're not fighting it by yourself. And if you are, something's gone terribly wrong. You don't understand, you're not by yourself. So how could Elisha be so calm? The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So Elisha is surrounded, and the enemy is surrounded, and Elisha knows, I don't have any reason to be afraid. So things like this, and scriptures like, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, how could we possibly ever be afraid unless the enemy lies to us and we believe it and he says, oh, you're not going to make it. You're outnumbered. God's not going to show up for you. You're under attack and you're going down. Or you stand and you say, if I don't see him, even if he slays me, yet will I trust him. But it won't be for lack of protection. And if you go on and read this story, well, let's do a little bit of it. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. So he lied, but don't get too caught up in that. So he led them to Samaria. So it was when they came to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and there they were inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elijah, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? But he answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Defeated his enemy without having to even kill him. Psalm 68, verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, a song. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. By his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Go down to verse 17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. You're not going to get outnumbered. You say, but I can't see the troops. I don't know they're there. They're there. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness. So yes, the enemy has troops. We got more troops. And then you say, yeah, but the enemy's got the devil. The devil is the enemy. Yeah, but he's just one fallen angel. Who is your God? Who is great like our God? Nobody. If he can't take care of you, you can't be taken care of. There is no one. Without getting into a bunch of details, my wife and I had dinner with a family, and for 3 hours, we had a conversation. This is a family that's having some challenges in their family with one of their kids. And we cried and laughed a little, and I talked to them about prayer and fasting and some weapons that maybe they had not pulled from the arsenal. And at some point he said, I know you're very busy, you know, I can't believe you're taking this much time, blah, blah, blah. I said, dude, I can only be one place at one time, and God told me to be right here with you and your wife, and that's why I'm here. Now, what was I on that night? I was backup. I was reinforcement for a family who was at the end of trying to figure out what can we do? What are we not seeing? What have we not tried? Now you say, well, you're a preacher. You got to do that. No, that's not exactly how it works. That's maybe how it should work. Other than God telling me to go do that and sit with that family, my wife and I with that family, one of the number one reasons why we did that is someone showed up for us. If you've ever had backup show up for you, it's not really hard, you would think, to show up as backup for someone else. So when you hear of someone in trouble, a family in trouble, a kid in trouble, a couple in trouble, and it resonates and you go, ooh, wow, been there, done that, that sounds familiar. Sure glad we survived that. Good luck. God bless y'all. Hope that works out for you. Instead of listening just a few more milliseconds where the Holy Spirit says, hey, you guys are an expert. You're up. You're the backup. Get over there and help those people. He said, well, I'm tired. You can rest in heaven. Matthew chapter 4. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry at 30 years old, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Very fascinating. Led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory and said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only shall you serve. So he survives the devil's attack, and then look how cool heaven is. Verse 11, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now, this is extraordinary to me because you have God, man, man, God, and Jesus. And these are created beings that he had created. I don't know which ones were sent, but it's always nice to have someone show up from home. And heaven was his home. And they all could see what's going on. They know what the devil's trying to do. And yet Jesus, even Jesus, needs some backup. The human side of Jesus needs some backup. Part of the challenge in our culture is isolation. And you think, well, I can worship God at home by myself. Yeah, you can. It's just not going to go well long. Because you're going to get in your own head, and you're going to be cut off. No accountability, no fellowship. And that is one of the number one things we got going. Is real connection, community, fellowship, where we see each other, help each other, challenge one another, encourage one another. It's a family. 2 Timothy 4, we'll do this last. 2 Timothy 4, let's start up here in verse 6, actually. No, you know what? Go to verse 1. It's hard to leave this out. So this is Paul writing to a young guy named Timothy, and he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Be careful what you listen to. This is going on right now. People go, oh, I don't like you preach about this or that. If you can't find what I'm preaching in the Bible, you come talk to me. I'll talk to you. You say, ah, but you skew this way or that. You just come talk to me. I love these conversations. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And then look at a personal note as he's writing to Timothy. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. So he knows I'm out of here soon. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And then gets more personal. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Now you say, well, what is all that about? They ditched. And what does he say? Timothy, come quick. Let me go back to that family, the three-hour meeting. I was made aware of this situation through actually one of my daughters. And she told me, and I actually had this guy's number. And before he ever reached out to me, I reached out to him. And he said, when can you meet? And within days, we met. You say, well, what's the urgency? You could pick up that his need was quickly. It wasn't later, it was now. So pay attention. You say, well, I got a text from somebody in this room, and literally the text said, this couple said, hey, call us. It's not an emergency, but call us. You say, well, then did you call them? I didn't call them in that moment before the day was over, because I know their situation. I called them because they got a lot going on. You say, well, see, that's it. You're the preacher. That's your job. Good luck with that again. My job, the elders in this church job, our job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I don't tell you these stories so you'll say, oh, good, I'm glad he's taking care of all that. I'm telling you the story so you'll get a life and realize it's your turn. And the way a church should work is, did you hear about so-and-so? They had a need. It got solved. It's all good. I'm like, that's great. But wait, but you didn't solve it? It's not about me. It's about him. It's about us. It's about you. Right? You get to have the fun.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. We get it and want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellis.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall so others can pray for you as well. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellis.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
And then one more in this little passage here. Demas left me, and then only Luke is with me. And then this little verse, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And if you go read about his relationship with Mark, not so good. Mark had ditched on him, and they're reconciled, and he says, bring him with you. So if you take a direct hit, what do? Backup shows up, and then you get back up, and you keep moving forward. If you go read the definitions for backup, here's another one. Someone who takes the place of another, as when things get dangerous or difficult. A person, plan, device, kept in reserve to serve as a substitute if needed. I needed a backup. My plan did not work to save myself. But as it turns out, Jesus was not a backup plan. He was the plan. He was the plan all along.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. The message of the gospel is one we take very seriously in our mission to reach the planet, and you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to tell someone about the change they've made in your life. You can even share today's talk with them through the website, richardellis.com. And we'd love to hear your story, as well as to how these talks have made a difference to you, too. Give us a call, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellis.com. And while you're there, check out all the pages we put together for you, richardellis.com. Also, be sure to click on the Contribute tab to send your very generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.